Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science Energy Show, November 8th, Sunday, 2009. We're back over here on Station 1 now, so you might want, those of you that are new to my Sunday night stuff, go over to the archives and you'll find a lot of stuff that you missed. And those of you that are the regular evening followers of Saturday night, welcome over to Sunday night, and we're going to continue up and finish the tape that we started last week, and then we'll go into a brand new one.
Nausea, seasickness, vomiting, chills, colic, fevers, dizziness, diarrhea, dysentery, cholera, influenza, and heart problems such as palpitations. It also is helpful in the cases of insanity,
side effects to drugs,
spasms in infants, and nervous headaches. Even I have a 4-year-old daughter that takes the Excalibur every day, and that girl's never been sick. I mean, she just takes it, she even chews it up. You know, peppermint cleanses and strengthens the entire system, including the nerves. It diffuses alcohol and warms the whole body. Well, the herb tea of peppermint is an excellent substitute for coffee or tea. The oil of peppermint is applied externally in the uses of toothache, headache, neuralgia, burns, and rheumatism. A peppermint salve will help skin conditions. When placed in a bath, peppermint can have a very calming effect on the nerves and muscles. Peppermint enemas are excellent for cholera and colon trouble. And then, of course, wintergreen is a mild stimulant and astringent used to expel worms. It is also excellent as a digestive aid. By putting the wintergreen in there, it accentuates the peppermint, but it also helps those people out there that have to eat pork. Because most people that have ever eaten pork end up with worms, you know, and that's not too cool either. Worms, one of the problems with worms is that they end up, you know, infesting the body, and the toxins, the waste material from the worms is very bad. The next herb that we use is chamomile. Chamomile is my favorite for an upset stomach, by the way. It's taken in a tea form. It's great for when you have a cold, too. Take it with red raspberry leaf. Helps upset stomachs. And excess acids and stress. Chamomile can also act as a mild sedative. In general, it helps balance the digestive process within the alimentary canal. Then we put hyssop in. Hyssop helps prevent the respiratory problems such as asthma and shortness of breath. It also helps the body rid itself of parasites and worms. Since, you know, now we're getting the astringent things of the formula, the hyssop and the wintergreen, those kinds of things. Strawberry is another thing we use. Strawberry is an excellent tonic for the entire system. It helps purify the blood and is an excellent detoxifying herb. Then we use valerian root. Valerian root is another one that helps settle the stomach, calm the nerves, and improve mental clarity. It works along the lines of the faux thai and the gota cola that we were discussing the other day. It is excellent for bringing back lost memory. It's also a good tonic for the heart. And we use yarrow. Yarrow is another anti-mucus herb and builds up the internal organs. It combats colds, lung ailments, ulcers, and general weakening of the body brought on by the hostile environment that we live in. So that pretty much explains what's in the Excalibur. I think it took us, 3 weeks to go through it?
Just about.
Yeah, that was 55 ingredients that we went through over the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And before each show, I always do a lot of research. Even though I've done it before, I like to be right on top of what I'm doing, you know. So I constantly reread a lot of my herb manuals and things before I do it.
And Dr. Bell, I think it's important to let people know how they can get a hold of you.
Right. I am at 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach. Zip is 92651. And call, you know, write me, care of Dr. Bell, care of Vitamins. And the phone number down here is area code 714-499-2603.
Concludes that bit of, that was the end of the old Excalibur formula, which is now the Pirillo formula, which is much, much more improved upon than even that one was. So we will now go into another series of educational ditties with a D.
That are in the health food stores to fall back on for some of this basic information. There are a lot of people around that put bits and pieces of it out, but I don't know of too many people that put it all together where you can use it as a diagnostic tool. So the Pleiadians came along and they said, look, Everybody has a deficiency in anhydrogen in them. Everybody has a problem with it. And we're going to show you how to deliver the nutrients. Because they taught me this nutritional stuff before they gave me the receptor. They gave me the receptor in 1979. I was learning the nutritional stuff in the early 70s. They said, now we're going to show you how to direct that in. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go into the nuclear clock of each cell. And we're going to have to take cells in groups. And that's where they came along with the term nuclear receptor. I'll give you an example now of what a receptor can do. Okay, here comes a tomato in the bodies. A tomato would be a protein, and it would be in a peptide chain. It would also have vitamins in it. This tomato's been sprayed real bad with insecticides. So what happens is, they spray. How many of you in here eat strawberries? You know what they spray those with? Bromide. You know, when I was in high school chemistry, bromine gas. In chemistry, we had the worst chemical you could possibly have in a chemical high school laboratory. It was bromine. Bromine is so deadly that they have a flask, a brown flask, with it in there. And that flask is inside of another flask, which is mounted in a container, so you don't drop it. It's that deadly. And that inner flask is sealed. It doesn't have a cork on it. It's sealed. Just look at bromine. There it is. You've held it. It's that deadly. Bromide is what they use as a preservative in strawberries. So this could be a strawberry with bromine in it. Doesn't matter. Okay, do you have a question? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering why,
what's
behind the FDA?
Greed.
Allowing this to go on so that people won't get healthy.
Because they don't want you to get healthy. I'll give you an example. We have in here a whole hormone source in there. Called DHEA, dehydroepiestrone, laced with the omega-3. How many of you heard of the omega-3? Okay, some of you heard of it. These are three lipid acids that help you live longer, okay? After you're 21 years old, the vibratory rate of your body is dropping. If I showed you a Pleiadian's DNA versus an American, when we have time, I'll get to that to show you why we age so fast. A person is almost half dead. I just better give you this explanation real quick. Your body has 46 chromosomes in it, okay? The DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid, is an electronic transformer in your body made up of protein, primarily protein, okay? And it has turns. It's built up a little ladder. Little ladder has turns. It has two sugars and two phosphates made up of four amino acids, okay? And these turns, the two sugars are rotating like this, the phosphates are like that, creates like an auger. And where these intersections come together are these beads of protein. And these beads of protein are spaced like this. And if you shorten them or you lengthen them, that means electronic energy would change frequency. So you can regulate frequency waves. You can regulate octave or waves in between these beads, okay? And there's 46 base pairs per turn on a complete chromosome, which then tells a pregnant mother to create every organ as good as you can do it for the physical plane for the baby. The blood, the liver, the kidney, the spleen, the brain, the skin, the bones, the hair, all that. 46 chromosomes, right? Now, if you start taking these chromosomes away, you get an incomplete set of commands to the DNA electronically, which then they can no longer metabolize. And therefore, the aging process starts, right? 46. Okay? The placenta, which is the buffer between the human and the baby. The baby is hooked in the spiritual world. The human is in the physical kingdom. This placenta is in the middle. Is trying to clean the blood, trying to keep things up as best it can. Soon, when the baby is just before the baby's born, because remember, it came from an egg in the womb, and now it's all there. It's just going to be ready to take its birth. It's growing. It's becoming a human. As soon as it comes through the womb and it takes its first breath, the base pairs per turn on all the chromosomes in the DNA of that baby, as soon as you disconnect the placenta, it goes from 46 instantly to 34. That's 25%, okay? 46 to 34 is 25%. The baby took one breath of oxygen on this planet and lost 25% of its lifespan right on the spot. Boom. Then, when the baby is 18 years old, 18 and 18 go together, At 18 years old, you have 50% of the chromosomes. You have 18 base pairs per turn left on your DNA. 18 from 46, you've got 18. You've aged 55, almost 60% when you're 18 years old. When you're 50s, you're down to 6 base pairs per turn. Now, what does that mean? That means that when you're 18 years old, your body does not get a full set of commands down here, and some hormones are stopping to be produced. And when this happens, one of the first ones that stop is called DHEA, dehydroepiestrogen. This was discovered in the 1800s with research in all the clinics in this country from an extract taken from a Mexican yam. And to answer this question, the FDA is aware of all of this. And they were aware of the fact that all the British and all the different drug journals of the world had DHEA on them. And in 1935, boom, DHEA wasn't on them anymore. It had been even removed off the last one, which was the pharmaceutical journal in England. So then when it was rediscovered at Scripps and some of these other institutes in the 70s, the FDA got really upset because anything that takes DHEA back in their body starts to live 30% longer. Because DHEA's job in the body is to take complex carbohydrates and reduce them to simple sugars, including fats. And that's why a kid, when they're young, can go out and eat all the junk food and the trash and stay thin and just run around and burn it off. But when you get past your 20s, you start noticing a difference. When you get in your 40s, you really notice a difference because that DHEA is history. That's why we put it back in our formula. But we were smart. When we put it in there, we found another source. We didn't use the Mexican yam. When the health food industry found out about it, everybody came out with Mexican yam extract. It lasted 90 days. 90 days, the FDA had raided all the laboratories and taken everything off the shelves of the health food stores. Fact. Okay? The FDA knows about these things, and their purpose is to make sure that you don't get very smart, and if you have this vasopressin flowing through your veins, you're going to be smart. And they're going to do everything to instill fear in you by shortening your B-complex, making B15 through B17 illegal. Okay? We put a lot of B15 in ours. We use a source called N-dimethylglycine, but you don't see it on the label because we don't want to have a problem with the FDA, so just leave it off. You get the picture? They're here to make sure you don't live too long because the secret government, which controls them, wants to have this planet for themselves. And they want to reduce the population. Their first go-around is by the year 2000, 1 billion people off the face of this earth. From there, the numbers go up, okay? And they really don't care who they take out at this point in time. They'll take everybody if they have to. So this is what's going on, yeah.
From your perspective, I really don't know. Particularly from your perspective, who is the secret government? Because people throw that around here.
Well, I'm involved with some individuals that are part of the secret government. Okay, have you ever heard of the Habsburg family? Margaret Habsburg. Okay, I'm working with her family. Margaret Habsburg, just recently, about 10 years ago, her husband died, and her husband had a partner by the name of James Anthony. Just so this, he's a friend of mine who was involved with projects. The Habsburg family was 1/12 of one of the key people of the what I call a secret government called the Rothschilds. Okay, the 1/12 breakup of the Rothschild fortune gave the Habsburg family, Margaret Habsburg, $4.2 trillion. She, one individual, inherited $4.2 trillion. Now do you get the picture? You think Donald Trump is rich? You think this guy in Japan with $18 billion is rich? Chump change. Margaret Habsburg, right now as we speak, tries to bring a little bit of her money in this country from Europe. She owns most of Europe. They own 60% of Europe. She's bringing a temple, a cathedral from Italy into Palm Springs, costing $1 billion. She can't bring her money in this country because it would bankrupt this country. Her personal wealth is higher than the national debt. That's the wealth level of what are called the Trilads. They control all of the power. There's 25 families. The Warburgs were another one. They financed Hitler. Okay. When Margaret is afraid of me, because when Margaret was living here in Albuquerque, right outside of Albuquerque here, up in the north with her husband, they had a place near Los Alamos. On this particular area, her husband was involved in some research projects. They had four Greys living in their house with them, and the CIA guarded the perimeters. Four Greys lived in their house. They came in and left, four of them, okay, in the Habsburg family. She's scared to death of them. She didn't know what they were. She knew they were some form of alien life form, and she's scared to death of them. She's trying to put money in the New Age, but she's scared to death of it because of the government pressures, okay? That's what happens. You can have Greys running around in your house. We're out here talking about, here they come in the dreams. They were running around these people's house. I have seen some of her wealth. It's awesome, you know. I came up in a family. My mother had divorced my father. My mother lived in poverty in Arkansas, so I lived there in poverty in Arkansas for a while, and then I lived in extreme wealth out here with my dad, who was working with Bob McCulloch and C.V. Woods. McCulloch used to own the LAX. My dad brought the London Bridge over and put it in Havasu. I was around extreme wealth, extreme poverty. The wealth I was around with McCulloch was chump change next to what I've seen around, you know, these other bigger families. So anyway, let me continue here. This is very real, what I'm talking about. This is not something that's a comic thing. It's, you can have a lot of fun with these systems. They're totally explosive and divine. But you've got to realize what you got to do and how this works, so that you can be clean and really rejuvenated from this energy. Otherwise, it's destructive. So anyhow, here's a strawberry or the tomato coming in. You know, in the body, they always say you need to have the 8 essential amino acids. So they're sitting in there, in the body, down here at this protein conversion level. And all 8 essential amino acids are in there for one reason: to put out a perfect blend of frequencies to scan this protein coming in to make sure it's okay for you, okay? So what happens is it sends out a 3.58 megahertz signal, 3,580,000 cycle signal, just like a sonar on a bat. It reflects, what it does is, it's called, on the biochemical level, this is the electronic level, down the biochemical level, this is called transfer RNA. I'm sorry, messenger RNA, you can look it up in your medical books. This protein over here is right spin. You realize that the protein in your body that's in there now is right spin. It's a poison. But you can handle poison. This is where homeopathy begins to show how it really works. So it's in here, it's right spin. This is left spin in here. If you'd put a right spin in here, you'd have poisoned that, because it would have gone into chaos and created a collision, a molecular collision. So this then says, okay, this is a proper, okay. So now what will happen, let's disconnect this amino acid group that just came in from the strawberry or the tomato, and let's bring it over here. As soon as it's disconnected and transported, now it becomes transfer RNA, and then when it reconnects over here, it becomes DNA, prime DNA again, okay? And this is how, and then this, of course, wraps into different coils and things and becomes a hormone at a later time. The function of the different endocrine glands in the body is to send electronic messages into the digestive tract to take out what different aminos that they need to assimilate, you know, female hormones, male hormones, you know, growth hormones, all these different things. The system is all electronic. So what comes along? Mr. ELF. Mr. ELF comes in here and confuses this. So when Mr. ELF comes in, the body says, hell, this poison looks good to me. I'll just take it off. I'll be a pig about it. And as a result, everything goes over. So your body converts everything over there. And when it's got everything over there, this electronic system just falls apart. So what we created, two devices, the very first, actually the first and the third devices were Pleiadian to stop this effect. First of all, you've got to do something about your house, because it's coming in through the ground wire. When Paul Benowitz was examining this girl up, it was right here at Albuquerque. I think you have the slide on it even. Probably down in here somewhere else. If we get that far, I'll show you the slide. This is down here a little ways. I'm going to jump into the systems a little bit now. These are Pleiadian systems. Oops, I'm on the wrong way here. One particular device that I want to show you here. This device right here, you'll see it on our booth out there. This device here is an octahedron with several different wires on it. It's not a very expensive thing. It's probably less expensive than the receptors. When Paul Benowitz was doing regression on Myrna Hansen, which was one of the early cases that Bud Hopkins worked on, right here in Albuquerque, because I've got the CAT scan on it in the slide projector. It even says Albuquerque Hospital here. And if I need to, I'll bring it out in a minute. They found right away two implants at the base of her brain. She was implanted. Okay, she was abducted up here in northern New Mexico. When he did regressions on her and other people, as soon as she was regressed into hypnosis, which is the rapid eye movement sleep being induced on the outside, which is astral plane energy, astral or emotional plane energy, being brought to the physical and the body becomes a host. As soon as they got into the encounter of the grays, Paul noticed that she started getting nervous and strange because the grays seemed to be tuning into her every time she was hypnotized. Just exactly like the experience was happening again, only it was being even extended. So he began to do research. And what his research was, he found that if he went into a screen room or he grounded out the wall plugs around all the circuits in his building, you know, this is the two things where the plug goes in, the round hole, that's what you got to ground, that's where the ELF is, that he could do this regressive stuff on her and she wouldn't have not only her, but other ones wouldn't have these traumas while they were being, you know, bringing out the knowledge of what the grays did to him during the abduction. So that was one way of finding out this happened. So we developed this device. The Pleiadians had already developed it for us. We didn't quite all know. Sometimes they give us the design. We don't know what it's for. I mean, they'll give it to us and say, you'll figure this out in a hurry. They'll give us a little clue. Actually, that's the way most of the things are. And the receptor was sort of that way. And because we found out, you know, you see the testimonials I have from doctors, even medical doctors in my files from the receptors. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff they say. Because that's how we learn. So this device here goes in your house to stop this ELF from running around in your house. And the way you hook it up is you have to isolate your circuits. Because it has to be grounded into the earth, not in the... What you're doing is you're taking the ground there, you're processing it through the device and sending it back out into the earth. Because the earth is still whole. So let's say you had a light bulb, you know. Here's a light bulb, here's a toaster. And here's a television set, right? Okay, you go down to your circuit breaker, pull the circuit breaker, have all these devices on, everything on your house, and see which line goes on. So one circuit breaker kicks off this guy here. Another circuit breaker kicks off the TV and the toaster together. Okay, that's two separate circuits. So what you do is you take the star orb, as it's called, and you take one side of it and you run it outside to the ground, you know, earth ground. You take another wire and you run it over to the single hole there. And you take another wire and you run it over to the single hole here. And you've isolated the ELF coming out of there into the ground. That's how that works. Real simple. And it works. If you've got a whole bunch of grounds, what I always recommend is people don't want to put these things all over their house because they might have an upstairs and a downstairs. So you can get a larger model or just isolate the area where you spend most of your time, primarily where you eat and where you sleep. Those are the most critical areas. And make a bigger version for bigger buildings. My house got hit so much energy in Laguna Beach from the grays that I had to put one of these in and some of the others in. Because I'm sort of a target for them, you know, for obvious reasons. So that's one of the things. Now, the next thing that helps duplicate that or get rid of that is the receptor, the nuclear receptor. It will do the same thing when you wear it because it's tuned at 3.58 megahertz. And how many of you have not seen the glue demonstration with this, with the receptor? How many of you have not seen it? Okay, good. I'm going to give you a demonstration now. Now we're going to play around with the shape. Okay, I need somebody up here for muscle testing. Who wants to come up here? One person. Okay, you come up. Take all this off. Okay, now put your arm straight out. This arm here. Make a fist. Okay, now like that. Now, when I push down, resist. That's your strength up. Okay, that tells me how strong your body is. Okay, now, this is poison. See, it's methyl ethyl ketone. It's a very powerful glue. Okay, start breathing that. So he knows what to do already. All right, put your arm straight out. Okay, now make a fist. Now keep breathing it. Okay, now resist. That's it, right? Strength-wise, okay, kind of collapsing under the glue. So you're not an accomplished glue breather. Okay, now relax now. Okay, now put your arm back out again. Make a fist. Now resist. Put that thing back up and start breathing. Resist. I'm almost all my way. I weigh 225, so see the difference? Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Get the point? This affects DNA immediately. And what happens is when you get a poison, and this is a dramatic test, I assume that everybody, some of you probably do, but not all of you breathe that much glue during the day, right? So, anyway, what happened was, you remember that you saw those pictures of the blood cell, the octahedron, made up of oxytetrodotoxin, nitrogen, carbon. When you put glue or poison in your system like that, it warps the shape. It just completely tweaks the carbon atom. Okay, when the carbon atom is tweaked, the oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen start colliding with each other, and you get a cell abnormation. And when you get a cell abnormation, the body can't bring the electricity up through the latissimus dorsi and the other muscles until the body collapses. Okay, it also works through the liver, the spleen, the kidney, all the sugar generating the adrenals. All these are short-circuited by poisons. So the same thing happens when you put the receptor on it. It creates the proper frequency. However, we find that one receptor doesn't work for everybody of one color. Everybody's weak. Some people have thyroid weaknesses. They have different weaknesses. So we have seven different frequencies of the hydrogen atom. So what we do is we muscle test people for the proper gemstone that they have to have. So therefore, everybody that ever wears one of these things is tested. Nobody's ever been sold one that I know of. At least I never sold them one without them being tested first. It's very important. Because your body reproduces cells at the rate 50 million per second, the first cell group is reproduced in about 90 days, the red blood cell group. The entire body is reproduced over a period of 7 years. So as you go through the receptors, you put the nutrition in your body, the minerals and all that. The receptor has found the weakest point, so that means, like, this is a thyroid problem. It means green is weak. So down here, the person is susceptible on this transfer from an ELF is going to make it even worse. So this starts to negate the effect of this weakness of green. So the green starts building up. So that means that after a while, after 3 or 4 months or 5 months, that particular link of the rainbow is becoming strong again. And then after you go through a whole reproductive phase, then you probably will change the stone. In the silver receptor, we change the stones in them. And the lesser ones, the base metal ones, we just change the whole receptor because it's not that expensive. And we usually test every year to find out what you need. And I, for the first 5 or 6 years, would change between 2 or 3 colors, and now I pretty much settled down on a particular color that works for me pretty much all the time. The result of over a period of time of using this and the nutrition and all of that, your body starts to build up a strength. And when your body starts to build up a strength, your aura field changes. And when your aura field changes, your entire body behavior changes. And I'm going to go into that in a minute. But first, before I go into that, I wanted to show you one other thing about pyramids. That's the male and female energy about them, okay? Now, first of all, I want everybody to stand up for a second. Yeah, just take a deep breath. Relax a little bit. Okay. It always feels good to circulate a little bit, doesn't it? This workshop's 2/3 over already, so I'll show you how time is going. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, okay? With your eyes closed, I just want you to make a quarter of a turn. That's all I want you to do is make a quarter of a turn, any direction you want. Okay? Okay, now I want you to open your eyes and see what happens here. Okay? See, we have people every which way, right? The proper way to work with a life force would be to turn to the right. Okay? Just sit down now and relax. I want to show you something. It's always fun to have a hands-on experience, right? The chakra system in the body. Okay? The chakra system in the body. And we've talked about it, right? We've shown you what it is. Okay? It's these nerves, right? The chakra system in the body could be looked at a series of spirals like this. And energy could be going like this. So it means one chakra is turning this way, one chakra is turning that way, like that. This causes a flow of energy to come through the body to supercharge the aura. This is the Ida force, and this is called the Pigalle force, the yin and the yang. Now, most people cannot handle their own yin energies, okay? Especially females. And this is a female energy. It's a third ray factor. Okay, I'll show you what I mean by that real quick. Okay, just stand up for a second. Okay. You know, just turn around and put your arm out. Like a muscle test again. Okay, and I'll make a fist. Okay, so now resist. Okay, now I'm going to put the pyramid on here. Resist. Resist. Okay, pyramid upside down. Resist. See the difference? Drops. Okay, that's male. Now you come up now, just for a second. It's male handling female energy. Now turn this way. Okay, now resist. Okay, the other way. Resist. See the difference? Okay, that's why in the pyramid, I mean the receptor, you'll see pyramids right side up, pyramids upside down. Where these two frequencies meet, when you have a pyramid right side up and upside down, becomes what's known as a scalar wave. Here's a positive pyramid here, negative pyramid here. They meet right out here in a neutral zone. That's called a scalar wave. This is getting into the science of interstellar travel, all of that. It comes from that energy. Okay, we all are spaceships inside. But most people, you should be able to tell strong upside down or right side up. And you can see the problems, the homosexual problems, all the problems that go on with yin and yang energy on this planet. That's why, for example, on the minerals, we have an upside down pyramid here where this is a mineral charger. The minerals are charged in here on the upside down portion of this so that it will teach your body to work with the female energies better. Now, if you were to pull, you don't think it's a powerful force, if you pull the plug out of your bathtub at home, the water goes clockwise, right? If you're south of the equator, it goes counterclockwise. So that means if you're clockwise north of the equator, naturally you should turn to the right, which is clockwise. If you turn to the right, chances are these chakras are probably all in synchronicity. If one of them's out, you'll have a tendency to turn the other way. I can always tell, like, where people's chakras are, you know, like, for example, if a person's running a pointer around clockwise or counterclockwise in a demonstration, or if you watch on TV the old movies, all the dance routines, like they used to do dance routines and the choreography was always counterclockwise spins, if you ever watch that. Some of the newer, more new age stuff, you'll see them dancing and making more clockwise spins. They're starting to subconsciously wake up to all this. The Pleiadians is a hard science, and this is the way this is taught. So when you become aware of that, you start teaching your body how this works. Now, there's a couple of things that need to be brought out real quick right here. And that has, now we're getting up, got through this part, now we're getting into the aura fields. It's real important to get into that now. The aura fields. Okay, if you take a human, for example, here's one aura field, right? You have this aura field generated by all the things we've been talking about. And you put them next to another human. Okay? Before this, when this was person A, this aura field right here had no expression, meaning it was just there. The person was a person. As soon as another person's aura field comes along, person B's aura field, there's an interaction. So immediately from this interaction between the two A and B people creates a personality, right? You don't know what your personality is until you have something to reflect it off of. Okay, everybody understand that? When does it stop? Or we go a little bit further, right? What time is it anyway? What time does the speaker come in? At 10 after? He comes in at 6:30, right? So I can wind this up in 5 minutes then, right? Okay. Just real quick, like. Okay, person A and person B interface, creating personality. Okay, this personality then would go over on person C. To make a long story short, the whole planet right now, the personalities are connected the wrong way. The Earth has an aura. It's a summation of all the personalities on the planet. This is a growth-resistant personality. If you line it up with all the rest of the planets, including the sun, the Earth is a big pain in the ass of the solar system. During certain alignments, it becomes necessary for the Earth, this alignment gets fed back, its negativity gets fed back. And so what happens, the sun reacts, creating a solar flare, creates an earthquake on the surface of the Earth, okay?
Well, we will see you flip that puppy, as we say. We'll go right on to the other side. I'm sure it's continued on over here. If not, we've got a little backup. Let's just see what happens here. This is also in my last two books, too. Rays of Truth.
Negates that negative jump sensation and allows you to go up into the astral sleep. And within 2 hours, you go into what's called rapid eye movement sleep, and you can project out. The reason you want to project out is you need to recharge your aura on the proper frequencies from the proper environment. This also protects you from the grays. People that project out without a pyramid and that are subjected to this energy are usually captured by the grays. That's why we sleep in them. Person C over here suddenly became dead. You know, they got hit by a car or something. Their aura is up here on the astral plane. So person B gets pregnant. This aura field comes back down and comes back on the physical plane again. This is the whole science of reincarnation. When you go to sleep at night, if you don't get rapid eye movement sleep, you'll die. A slow, painful death. Serial killers go mad, you know, because they can't do REM sleep. So what happens is, you want to sleep in the pyramid, go up on the astral plane at night, communicate with this unattached soul. Or you might want to communicate with an ET or a master or all that. So this is necessary to have this normal rapid eye movement sleep. You also use 80% more nutrition at night when you sleep, okay? So all of the different systems that we have that I can't show you now that you can learn about in our tape series there, if you can't come to our Laguna seminars, deals with all phases of this much deeper and how you can use it at home, deals with raising the kundalini energy, which then makes these nerves, these 72,000 nerves in your body, become very powerful and very low in resistance to electricity, which then supercharges your aura. Your aura eventually, Pleiadian systems, gets extended way out, and you start touching other Pleiadians or other Andromedans, and you start getting channeling or feedback, all of this. This all has to do with our systems, but we don't have the time to go into that. I communicate physically, okay? I communicate telepathically. The telepathic is also a physical sensation. I am not much of a channel. I never have been. I have done some channeling, and it doesn't work for me. The Andromedans, it's like a telepathic holographic communication. They can put another aura around me and cause me to see things. My cells are able to maintain memory. You eventually learn to teach your cells memory with all of this stuff. When your cells have memory, you can pull back previous communications that might have been subconscious, pull it up into the front end of your right and left brain, and start writing stuff. With the Pleiadians, I always had to write the communication down or record it on a tape recorder. The Andromedans, I can remember it, and I can auto-write. I can close my eyes and make notes and auto-write because they can take complete control. Okay, we have a booth out here with a big pyramid over it, which one of you should take home and sleep under. And, you know, any questions you can answer out there, a tape series. You didn't even get a chance to go into the music, how the music opens up yourself. It's also amazing. By the way, on our tape, we have a Pleiadian shift recorded all the way through it. What? Yeah, go ahead and drink it. That's the mineral. Oh, you're welcome. Those are available out there. Well, we didn't have much time. We went into a time warp, but that was fun. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we'll move into something else. Obviously, that one was finished. That was a really fun tape doing that. That was a good lecture. One of my workshops somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere out there. We'll start another one now, see what we got here. I think this one's all ready to go. It's all queued up. Let's see how it does. Some of them take a little bit of time to get going. But these are so informative, I even listen to them myself, like listening to this. Of course, I don't hear anything right now, but that doesn't mean we're not doing something, you know. Sometimes it's on the inner level, or possibly the information's on the other side of the tape. So if that's the case, we will pop in another little ditty here. We got just a few minutes left, so I will go ahead and put this one in and figure out where that one's at later. There we go. This will be good. Oh, I love these things. These are some of these are classics now, but they still have the same good old
information.
My
background basically is for the tape. My name is Dr. Fred Bell. I started into energy when I was pretty small, about 6 or 7 years old. I was working at the University of Michigan when I was about 14 on atomic energy. And I went into the Air Force, and I was an early warning radar. And I worked around our defense system and spaceships and flying saucers and all the things that the Air Force doesn't want to talk about. I got out of that, I went into aerospace, and I worked with the late Wernher von Braun. We built spaceships. This was back in the mid-60s. And when I realized what the Air Force was starting to turn me against the system back in the late 50s, and by the time I got into the mid-60s working for the government, 10 years by this time, I was so turned against the system at this point in time that all I could do is not wait until the, couldn't even wait until the space programs ended, but somehow or other made it through to the end. Got real rebellious towards the end of the space program, and I was working. My employer was Rockwell, but our contractor was NASA, and Rockwell was performing such a poor service for NASA, and it was the government's money, people's money that was being spent, that I filed a large grievance on behalf of myself against Rockwell for NASA, and promptly got fired for doing that. So I was out of a profession. I was a professional scientist by this point. And the grievance was about fire hazards and human consciousness, the awareness of the job on the birds. And we were having a lot of fires. As a result of my grievance, these three people died down in the Cape. If you remember that one incident where the three astronauts died. And my grievance was to stop that from happening, because I could see that happening. So when that happened, then they gave me my job back, and I resigned, and I walked out. That was my end of the government spending. But I started studying with Eastern teachers for quite a while. I spent a number of years with them and learned the Eastern way of life, which when I studied Brahman science, it made a lot more sense than the American science, because when I was studying the quantum mechanics and quantum physics and things like that, all we would say in this country was that if you have a certain condition in a laboratory or an environment, a certain type of particle present, maybe something will happen, It didn't mean anything to me. So with the Brahman science, they had names for families of energy, so I really began to work seriously with energy. Then I finished my PhD in homeopathic medicine and came back and started lecturing with the National Health Federation. And since that time, it's been about 6-7 years since I've been doing that. And I, of course, have been doing a lot of pyramid energies and developing the space travel devices that I was interested in developing back at NASA, but Uncle Sam wouldn't let us do that because it was a giant WPA project, and they figured it would be detrimental to the national economy to come on with these environmental projects too soon. They wanted to wait until we got into a situation like we are in now. The situation we're in now is that we've destroyed our water supply worldwide. We've raped our soil of minerals. Most people in the world are mineral deficient and not aware of it. And we're running out of air. So, your feelings come from three different places. They come from number one, your air. That's your first source of feelings. Second source of feelings comes from relationships, communication with each other, experiencing each other. And the third source of feelings comes from the food that we eat. Well, you can eat junk food for 10 or 15 years before it has a detrimental effect on the body. You end up with cancer or one of the diseases that you can have. It's your choice. You can have an argument with someone and have a bad relationship and still live on the physical plane for quite a while, maybe not feeling too well, or you can live in harmony. But if you just hold your breath for about 2 or 3 minutes and try to go out the door, you won't make it. So society has put a fuse you fused yourselves, basically. And I'm not saying I'm not part of it, because I'm just as guilty as the next person. I'm just one that's trying to do something about it. And you fused yourselves with your air supply, even though you look out here, and it looks fairly clear. There's a tremendous amount of smog out here, even now.
There ain't a lot of air up there. And when you realize how one of those big 747s with four engines on it, developing 56,000 pounds of thrust or horsepower, that's 200,000 horsepower being used per second, you know. That's a lot of air, you know, and the trees on the planet down here, which are supposed to rejuvenate our atmosphere, can't do that, because what are we doing? We're cutting our trees down, too, to build houses. Look at the price of wood. Do you see the dilemma that we're going into? So we do have to have intervention now. It's necessary, because we got to destroy, you know, this imagination. The government, the corrupt government, will have to be eliminated, and man can't eliminate it. God has to. If man tries it, he's called a rebellion, you know, we're called rebels or whatever. So we're going into what is called a revolution, and that's called a spiritual revolution. You know, my great-great-grandfather was a leader of a revolution, Ethan Allen, in this country, and they started a war in 1776, and we had a problem there. You know, people have a tendency not to get into action even when all the facts were presented. Now, in 1620, when we came over here, we left England, right, to get away from taxation without representation is what we're having again right now, the same problem. So, first of all, we ran away from England. When we ran away from England, we came here. The English just waited for us to get settled in our colony, and then they began to infiltrate us, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. So finally the colonies were a joke in England. They would probe us with their red coat regulars, and they would keep a fear trip going, like, you know, a paranoia always manifesting these times. And they kept us going, and so we didn't do anything about it. It started to get real bad. Well, then we decided we're going to have to get away and run them out. So we asked them to leave, and of course they didn't leave. So we had to organize ourselves. So the first thing we had to do was make our organization up and decide what we wanted to base our rebellion on. So we tried to draw up the Constitution of the United States. But when it was written, nobody would sign it. Okay? And John Adams, one of the people that wrote it, had a hell of a time even getting it written, because there was such fights amongst the sons of the aristocrats, that were at that time our representatives, just like we have the same problems now. It's like having a bunch of representatives of oil companies. If you read some of the names back here on your chart, which is in the back room where the children are, you'll find that a lot of, like Lynch was there, who have Merle C. Lynch today. And you'll see a lot of powerful families in running this greed trip today that signed that Constitution. And John Adams used to, you know, just absolutely tell them off, you know. And of course, Benjamin Franklin was always soothing him and saying, "Well, this is the best you got to work with, man. You got to work with these people."
So that conflict was going on simultaneously. It was George Washington, who has more of the sons of the aristocrats over at Valley Forge. And he's waiting at Valley Forge.
He's running out of food, money, and supplies
for somebody to sign a Declaration of Independence so that he can start a war, you know, start shooting. But there's this huge stalemate. Nobody would do anything. Well, Ethan Allen came along. He was very rebellious, and he knew of both stalemates. And he was going on the inner levels. Well, we're always guided. I'll show some films later on today. Did that TV set arrive, by the way, that was supposed to come? We're going to need that later. Otherwise, we'll use mine, which is very small. And you'll see that there is an inner hierarchy, which we'll talk about late this afternoon, that guides this country. And so they got a person by the name of Saint Germain came and appeared on the balcony inside the Continental Congress room at a meeting and got him to sign that document. He gave a heck of a delivery of a speech, and this energy that he released motivated everybody to sign the document. Well, superphysically, Ethan Allen picked up on it, and he organized 50 people into a bridge in Lexington, Massachusetts, and he opened fire, just fire on a bunch of British regulars, just shot them down, you know. Then he went to Fort Ticonderoga, okay, and in the middle of the night, and the general was asleep, but he had 50 men. He says, "Wait outside." Took a musket, took it up, went to the general's quarters and stuck it down his throat and said, pulled the hammer back and said, "Surrender," you know. The guy had no choice, so they go out in the courtroom, and 800 soldiers come out half-dressed and put their guns in a pile, and they'd taken Fort Ticonderoga. Then Ethan Allen sent a message down to George Washington and said, told of the massacre the day before and the capture of the fort that night, and he says, "You better get rolling, because as soon as the British find out about this, they're going to be shooting at you." So then away, then the war started. So that was the beginning of our war and our freedom. Well, the premise of the war, and was George Washington, he was in the lodges, he was a Freemason and that, and our forefathers dedicated this land to the New Age people. They knew in the New Age that their sons and daughters would be the reincarnations of the Atlantean civilization, you know, the good side of the Atlantean civilization. They would get in, inherit the American soil. They knew this. The next thing happened was we had to symbolize this on the dollar. This is what we chose. So three other Lodge brothers, Van Buren, who became a president, Tyler, the genial feat, the pirate, got together, and they were also into the secret inner teachings and guidance of the country, and they coined the great seal of the United States as a pyramid. This was in 1779. But the Continental Congress, which was a secondary, what I would say, level of consciousness, could not understand what the leaders were all about even at that time, so they wouldn't put that symbol on the dollar bill until 1939 on the Series A dollar bill. So you begin to see that there's a tremendous gap between the true leaders of this country and the followers that have to take care of the pragmatics. In other words, there's a big gap between the president and the congressman or the senator. But as time went on, our beautiful values, see, the country became very rich, and when it became very rich, it became lazy. And that's the story of civilization, you know. You feed a lion real well, he doesn't go out and hunt anymore. He just lays around and lets the woman do it, you know. And so the woman in this case was the women in this country. They physically went to work, and they were treated like hell until we had the rebellion of the women. The women were doing everything in the early, you know, in a lot of manufacturing things in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in England and here too. And so you begin to see all of the things that go on in corruption beginning happen, and it happened. So we got some dues to pay. That's all there is to it. We have some dues at this time. So now we have the New Age leaders, people like myself. And we know, we can see, because we have the foresight to see what has been, and we're not afraid to admit where we are now. And that's why I wear my dunce cap here, this pyramid, because I'll leave this thing on until, number one, I've cleaned the air back up. Number two, I've restored the food back, the soil back to its original condition. And number three, got rid of the air, the water pollution. I'll do all three of those things. I may do it alone, or I'll do it with the help of anyone that wants to join me. And there are quite a few organizations now that are doing it, you know. Because my children are not going to, I'm not going to leave this planet without leaving it cleaned up for my kids, you know, and their generations. I have enough courage and enough respect for God at this point in the universe to, I don't care what has been done, I'm not going to say that my state is because of that. I'm going to change the state that I'm in by changing my state. So we begin to start somewhere. So I'll start with a slideshow now and show you about our own temples a little bit.
Well, we start with the root of the body, which is the colon. In the yogis, when you do yoga, it's the sacral chakra. But the primary organ of the body where all disease and degeneration begins is the large intestine. Now, how many of you in here have been to colon lectures? Anybody in here? All of you? Well, you have. Okay. And most of the main topic of the National Health Federation, and each of us has a part, like Dr. Yamayamas and Dr. Ellis and that are covering a lot with fluoridation and the effects of the water. In other parts of the country, we're talking a lot about colon therapy, and when I do most of my lectures with the National Health Federation, it's on the topic of poison environments and atmosphere and oxygen on the body. So now, the large intestine digests all of the minerals coming into the body. And my specialty in medicine is homeopathic medicine. I'm a homeopathic physician. So this is one of my degree areas where I've studied and specialized for the last several years. And we find that most people have colons that look like this rather than like this. 90% of people coming into our clinics look like that. And what's happening is why they look like this, they're shriveling up like this. This is the dehydrating effect right here. This is the descending colon where it goes for release out. This is dehydrated due to what, this is what preservatives and food substances will do for you. It dehydrates the colon. Proper irregularity causes a stretching action in the colon, and most people that have had a heart attack and lived from it did not have a heart attack at all, but the colon was stretched up, like on this one, up against the heart and causes a cardiac restriction. So a heart attack has one symptom, death. Pseudo heart attack has cramping and everything like a heart attack, but there's not really a heart attack. A lot of people have had this symptom here. And of course, when they give nitroglycerin, this will help it because it forces the heart muscles into contraction and restriction back and forth, so it forces this away. But the ideal thing is colon therapy. A lot of people that are hyperactive, people come to me and say they're hyperactive, they've got too much energy, and they're jumping around like a nervous cat. It's not caused by an overactive adrenal and lots of adrenaline in the blood. It's caused by poisons in the blood. Okay? When I studied with the Tibetans put me through an exercise as a final initiation before I left their lamasteric care. And that's where a large amounts of strychnine were placed in my body. Enough strychnine was placed in my body to kill 50 people. And that was to give the experience of what they call a death experience. And when this large amount of strychnine was placed in my body, I was taught certain meditation exercises, certain physical exercises, and certain yoga exercises, which I had to combine to move the poison out of my body so that I would not lose my form. The experience was very, very euphoric, but it was very rigid on the body. It was very nauseous. The American Indians did the same experience with the peyote button. They used to take the peyote button. Because any of these experiences stop the flow of serotonin on the pineal gland, which we'll cover in a little while, causing a spiritual experience or a revelation of our higher nature. It's suddenly brought before us. And I found that with the strychnine in my body, I had an excessive amount of energy. It did not stimulate the adrenaline. It gave me an excessive amount of energy. And this was a three-day ritual out on the desert. So what I had to do with the strychnine is I had to do running. I had to physically run for a certain length of time. Then I had to sit in what is called a kundalini position and do a large amount of breathing exercise where you go. What this did was put large amounts of oxygen into the bloodstream so that the oxygenated blood in the liver could take the poison from my body. And this exchanging process of large amounts of oxygen and excessive running and the meditation that went with it caused a complete discharge of the poison. And this would happen, it would come in rushes. There would be 3 or 4 hours of meditation and peace. Then the system would pick up a large amount of strychnine and go into like a spasm. We'd have to work through that and go into a peaceful thing. And each time as the poison decreased in the body, it pulled out other toxins with it, and the experience was a very high euphoric experience on the second day. The American Indians did the same thing, the same exercise as the Tibetans, only did it with a rattlesnake bite. The rattlesnake bite, where the brave was put in a circle of rocks in a sacred burial ground or sacred ground, and they had the blessings of the tribe. So this kept the air purified during this out-of-body experience so that some low influence didn't take the body and the brave would let the snake.
Well, we'll have to finish the snake biting experiment later because we're running out of time, and we'll continue this next week. Have a great evening.